Good morning. We will have our responsive reading. If you would stand and turn in your Bibles, we will look at this morning. We will conclude our look at Psalm 49. You'll find that in the Pew Bibles on page 579. I will begin with verse 11, congregation, the even number verses, and we will conclude this psalm. So it'll be Psalm 49, page 579, and I'll begin with verse 11. Their inner thought is that their houses are forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They have called their lands after their own names.
But man in his pomp will not endure. He is like the beast that perish.
This is the way of those who are foolish, and those after them who approve their words.
As sheep they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them.
And the thorns shall be Sheol to consume, so that they have no habitation.
But God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me.
Do not be afraid when man becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased.
For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not descend after him.
Though while he lives, he congratulates himself, and though men praise him, he will glorify himself.
He shall go to the generations of his fathers. They will never see the light.
Man in his pomp, yet nothing is in him. The beast that perishes.
Amen. Please be seated. We began this psalm last week, and this is the second half of it this week. It is not a very encouraging psalm, is it? When you read about how man can build up all his wealth, he can gain great power and pomp, but what is the end? What comes of him? He is but like the beast of the field. He perishes in Sheol. There is nothing there for him. It talks about how the foolishness of men just brings to nothing. And the form, and their form shall be for Sheol to consume. There's nothing left. Great, you can gain great wealth. I mean, and there's a few things I plan on taking with me when I go, but it's not great wealth. It's my faith in Jesus Christ, and now that's all you need. And in verse 19. Those who do not know him, he shall go to the generations of his fathers. They will never see the light. And when we read about Jesus being that light, and we can see him, we see him through his word, we know him in his presence, he is here with us. And I keep thinking of the darkness of the tomb or the darkness of the grave and how there's no light in there. Unless there's Jesus Christ with us, then there is light. Then there is an opening. Then there is a passageway passing through that tomb or grave or death into the light of his presence. The one statement, though, where he talks about here, but God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. It certainly sounds like a definite statement. And I think it's because the psalmist understands that in verses 7, 8, and 9, when he wrote those, that's the answer. That's the gospel message. That it is through the Messiah or Jesus Christ who will redeem our souls. He is the ransom for us. He has purchased us at a costly price. No matter what wealth or great riches we had, could ever garner those things. But it is through his blood that we have that passage through death, where nothing comes of it, into the glorious light of his presence, where we have eternal life. I'd like to wish all the moms out there a happy Mother's Day as well. And just a quick thing, when we sang our praise song this morning, the one verse that speaks to me is, it's your breath in our lungs. And I can't help but think, breath, pneuma, his spirit is in our lungs that fills us with the opportunity and the ability to speak about him, to give testimony, to give witness as to what he has done. And that just rings clear to me each time we say it. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Well, I regularly appreciate that our contemporary society has marked out days, holidays, if you will, that allow us to focus on certain things, things of importance. Today, we focus on mothers. It is safe to assume that I spent quite a bit of time, and I usually spend quite a bit of time, asking myself, well, what does a responsible pastor, one who firmly believes in what we call here at Blue Point Bible Church a thinking faith, a thought out and productive expression of our understanding of God, what do I preach about on a day regarded as Mother's Day? What should we as the Church of Jesus Christ focus in on days such as Mother's Day in our society? You can trust I return to these thoughts each holiday throughout the year. I believe this marking out of days to focus on certain things is biblical and a godly design, and I'm prepared to make such a case for Mother's Day this morning. Actually, what I plan to detail for us this morning is not only that such marking out of days is important, but also this is motherly wisdom we should be desirous of seeing birthed within our next generation, that it's important to take time to reflect and think upon the things that are important. A Mother's Day sermon, indeed. Mothers do so much. It is impossible to view life without mothers. Actually, life would be impossible without mothers. Mothers give wisdom. Mothers fix issues. Mothers do. And that busyness has come to not only affect the lives of pretty much every contemporary mother, we might say every person on the planet as well. We are all just so busy. If you look on the front of your bulletin this morning, and know that it's not a Hindu goddess, as somebody had said on social media to me. Rather, how when I first looked at that picture, I said, well, that looks about as contemporary of a mother as you might think. There's everything from working out to the computer to reading books, taking care of a child to the addiction to the cell phone. And I believe, I'm not sure if that's a waffle or food or something going on in her other hand. But again, you know, you have to make time to eat. So there's a martini. Well, yep. We'll leave that one alone for this morning. And so again, it's a busy life, a busy life. And I believe that we can all sort of find that reality there. We might not have eight arms, but I believe that we can all sort of see ourselves in that picture. Just so busy. I do not have enough hands to do all the things that society seems to ask of me. Maybe it's myself. Maybe I'm the one asking those things of me. And that's what I sort of want to get us to think about this morning. Is it society? Is it God? Is it myself? Who's to blame for the busyness that has seemed to pervade our entire society? So I trust that while I do believe this message to be pertinent to mothers and our mothering the next generation, if you will, raising up a generation, I do believe each of us will find this wisdom this morning beneficial and edifying. In his book, Crazy Busy, Kevin DeYoung, a Reformed Christian pastor, notes that crazy busy is how most contemporary mothers and average people would respond to, how are you doing? Crazy busy. It's crazy busy. That seems to be the same response everybody would give. I refer your attention again to that eight-armed woman on the front of your bulletin. Does that picture resonate with you? In his book, Kevin DeYoung highlighted that we sometimes say we are so busy, or we are busy so numbly and so quick as a response, because we have to keep up this illusion of busyness. You know, when you're so busy that you get nothing done. I can understand that. This is what I believe Jesus Christ was speaking about in the parable of the sower, where he spoke about that seed that gets caught up in the thorns and thistles, which is interpreted as the person whom the word of God is choked out of due to their concerns about money and the worries of this life, that what is revealed in that text is that the productivity of the gospel is of none effect and they fall away. And you see this in Luke 8, verses 7 and 14. In one lecture I had listened to talking about busyness and the problem of busyness in our culture was that busyness is our hidden addiction, which springs from our being driven by our ego's desire to wear the mask of importance. The busier I am, the more important I am. One woman remarked, "Not knowing when your next break is happening." Have you ever heard somebody say that? "I don't even know when I'm going to take a break next." Well, that's not impressive. That's sad that you don't know the next time you're going to take a break. I've heard people say, "I don't know when my next meal is. I've had to skip meals, I'm so busy." Well, let's mark it out. Skipping meals because you ran out of time is not impressive. It's unhealthy. And how many times do you hear people say, "I'm so overcommitted. I have so many different things to do all over the place." Overcommitting is not impressive. It's sad. It would seem, rather than suffering from a scheduling problem, because we're too busy, we have a heart issue that has made us too busy. And that heart issue is pride. I must be important. The more important I am, the more busy I am, the more important I am. And if I need to keep up this allure, this illusion of importance, I have to make sure that every day of the week is penciled in with a million things to do. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, we read, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present yourselves as a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So if you look on the back of your bulletin, I also have pictures on the back of your bulletin, well, words on the back of your bulletin, not pictures. I give you the Bible verses that are mentioned throughout this sermon, but then if you go down to that next couple words there, I show you the pattern of this world. I believe that most of us can agree that the pattern of this world is summed up in that illusion of busyness. Everybody's so busy. Everybody's ego-driven. We're prideful. That is the pattern of this world. The transformed by the renewing of our mind is what we are told to do as the body of Christ, that we are not to be like those that are caught up in this busyness and obsessing over their ego and how busy they truly need to be to keep up that image of importance, but rather we are to be those that transform by the renewing of our mind and have a gospel effect showing from us. So my case is going to be that if busyness is the reason for the problems in our society, and I believe I'll make some of that a case for that this morning, if that's the problem, we the church should have the solution. If the busyness is what's making our world seem destitute, seem afflicted, seem broken, what should we the church say? You might say, "Sister Meredith already gave us the answer this morning with the song she sang to us. It's about presence with the Lord." We must have our presence, God's presence being in the church, should be shown in some way against the busyness of our society. We are told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, that we are to prove all things, holding fast to that which is good and abstaining from that which is wicked. I do believe that some of the busyness, I imagine many of you have busy schedules, some of that busyness is probably very important and is necessary to maintain the life that you believe or that you understand God has provided to you, the eternal life, the eternally fulfilling and satisfying life that you believe God has given to you. However, I also believe that within that same thing, there's some good to it, but I also believe, and I'm going to make the case this morning, that each of us can receive from saying, "What is bad about the busyness in my schedule? Where do I need to seek more of the presence of God and be a Mary rather than a Martha?" In that book I had mentioned earlier, Crazy Busy by Kevin DeYoung, he cites the killer peas is what he calls them. They're expressions of pride that contribute to our frantic busyness. A good method of examining and proving our busyness is to ask ourselves, am I trying to do good or am I trying to make myself look good? You see, a lot of times in our busyness, we think, you know, speaking as a minister, ministers can say this a lot. We say, "I'm so busy doing the work of ministry, serving Jesus, doing good in the community." And then when I go through the plan there and I look and I say, looks like most of that is done to make you look like you're doing good. I don't know that you're always doing the good that you're saying your schedule is requiring. And I believe that to be the case for most of us. I believe a lot of times we fill up with so much stuff that, again, we understand it to be doing good, and maybe it is. But more of it, on the other side of it, is from us really just seeming, again, that allure of importance, to seem that we are important. Kevin DeYoung further challenges us to ask ourselves, which of the following expressions of pride have fallen into my schedule this past week? When have I gone about certain things in my schedule just to please people? That's a form of pride, pleasing people. Because we're not supposed to be here to please people. We're not men pleasers, we're God pleasers. So where in my schedule am I just doing things because I'm doing that to please people? How can I move away from that and do it for working toward the Lord, working for the Lord? How about where in my week has the things that I'm so busy with doing been about my possessions? Maybe maintaining my possessions, getting new possessions, whatever it might be. The person that works overtime just to get more stuff, you might think of. Are they really benefiting themselves? How about proving yourself? I did a debate last week, so I guess that would probably fall in the proving myself category. Or poor planning. Where in your busyness is just poor planning? You did not do the right work to say, well, I need to get this, this, and this done. And if I put the right attention into these things, then I won't be as busy. Or perfectionism. Again, another common problem of pride. I have to have a perfect work week. I have to have a perfect schedule to keep up my image of perfection and importance. I think of what Pastor Steve shared with us in Psalm chapter 49. Man in his pomp will come to nothing. It will always lead, as the text says, he's like the beast that perishes. The man that lives by pride, schedules his week by pride, makes the things according to his own thinking, his own understanding important, rather than the solution, which we're going to get to. Hopefully we're still highlighting the problem here. These issues of pride that come up. Man in his pomp, unfortunately, has a busy week, a devastating schedule, and it does not benefit him. How dare we blame the life that God has provided? As Scripture says, he's given everything to us pertaining to life and godliness. How dare ministers like myself say that the work that we've done for Jesus Christ is our busyness, has made us so busy and frustrated? How dare we blame that on God? Jesus said, "Come to me, all who work and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You notice he didn't say, my burden is going to make you extremely busy and keep you going constantly to the point where you feel so frantic that you say, I don't know if I could add anything else to my schedule. That is not what Jesus said. Unfortunately, though, if you look at the lives of many Christians, the lives, and, you know, I guess put the pastors on display this morning. If you look at the lives of many ministers, they tend to think that that's the way this is supposed to be done. The more I make myself frantic and busy and do, I'm serving Jesus. I'm following Jesus. Meanwhile, that's not what he said to follow him and do. He said to follow him and take his yoke, which is easy, and his burden, which is light, upon us. So again, that should remind us that there's something remiss when we find ourselves so busy in our lives and in our society, yet we're proclaiming that we live eternal life, that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. There's something missing if we're so busy and frustrated. I believe that part of that is actually quenching the spirit, as stated by the Apostle Paul in his first letter to the Thessalonians. We must renew our minds. We must do the necessary work of renewing our minds against burdensome busyness that has pervaded our minds and our society. Whereas many feel as though they get through the day and just break even with some sanity. You ever feel like that? They have so much in your schedule that when you get to the end of the day and you sit down on the couch and say, thank God I made it. That can't be the Christian journey of eternally fulfilling and satisfying life. So many feel this way. We go through our days like that. But yet we're supposed to be the representatives, the ambassadors, the living examples of, as I mentioned, eternally fulfilling and satisfying life. Not when we biologically pass away, but rather as we die to ourselves each and every day and put on Jesus Christ. So busyness has to be at the other side of the experience of life than what we are called as Christians to display to the world. So I ask you to consider this morning, Are you crazy busy? A good assessment would be asking yourself, how often and how long do you truly sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary did in Luke chapter 10? Or, again, have you become a Martha? Being Mary rather than a Martha is what Kevin DeYoung had highlighted in his book Crazy Busy as the one necessary thing. So the question does become, how can we form and reform our lives according to the will of God? Right? Romans 12 said that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So then how do we mark out, if busyness is what I need to be transformed from, because that's the pattern of this world, how do I get to the other side of that experience and actually not define my life as crazy busy? In dying to ourselves, how can we put away busyness and replace it with productive activity? The obvious answer would be beginning with examining ourselves, as I'm putting before us this Mother's Day this morning. I do believe this to be motherly advice. The first thing that I would highlight, and again, on the back of your bulletin, I have most of this written down for you. The first thing I would highlight is necessary rhythms, the rhythms of life. Kevin DeYoung says one of the differences between futility and fulfillment, you might say pattern of the world versus eternal life, is for us, one of the differences between futility and fulfillment for us is the loss of meaningful rhythms in our lives. So the difference is, if you again, this side, well, the right side should be eternal life. So the left side is going to be, this side is busy, 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 stay busy, busy, busy. This side is a life that has rhythm in it. And it's going through the rhythms of life and experiencing the different things that God would have us to go through. All throughout Scripture, we find God implanting rhythm into all of creation. We see that the sun goes up and down every day. We see that God instituted a Sabbath for his people to observe weekly. We see there's festivals that go throughout the entire Hebrew calendar to continue to highlight the importance of taking moments to relax and think and contemplate the things of God. And then, of course, we have jubilees and feasts that would mark out every couple years, every 7 years. So if God instituted things daily, weekly, monthly, even yearly, where are you doing that in your life? Where are your rhythms, your daily rhythm? What are you doing? Like the sun goes up and down and God has designed it as that. What has God designed in your life to be a daily rhythm that would keep you in tune with him? Again, think about that daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. Maybe you need to create some. If you're sitting there thinking, as when I went through this question, I said, I don't know what I do every couple years. Maybe I need to create something. I know a favorite writer of mine, Shane Claiborne, said that we need new holidays. We need to mark out things for ourselves that we believe will get us to pause and to contemplate the importance of whatever it might be. A lack of such rhythms will continually reveal dissatisfaction and chaos in your life. So you ever find yourself sitting there on that day where you feel so busy, you might want to sit down and say, where's the rhythm in this day? What rhythms is God asking me to put into place so that I would find satisfaction and order in my life? The second thing is posteriorities. Borrowing a word there, the spell check didn't seem to identify it. However, it's a word by a famous writer on leadership. And he says that we all know what our priorities are. My priorities are what is important. I set up my day and I usually say, this is what I have to do. Right? These are my priorities. Things of utmost importance. On the opposite side of that is posteriorities. Those are the less important things. Or the things that are not necessarily that important, that if I don't get to them, that is fine. The things you are supposed to say no to. Or the things you simply won't do because they do not produce the desired effect of that action or that busyness. Kevin DeYoung asserts, until we know what we won't do, we actually won't do the things that we should do. I want to repeat that one more time because I thought that was a pretty good point. Until we know what we won't do, we won't actually do the things we should do. I thought about that for myself sometimes. In our state of society, sitting and vegging on the couch tends to be a problem for many people, right? You sit on the couch, start watching some TV. Before you know it, those study plans, reading that book that you had put on the counter, all of a sudden all seems to dissipate and now you're stuck watching some TV show. So for me, what I've written down on some of my posteriorities is I will not sit on that couch And that's what I won't do some days. I'll say, no, as much as the couch looks comfortable, as it's calling my name, I will not go near that couch because I know what happens when I sit there. I get comfortable, I get into the TV show, and now all the other priorities are gone. So my posteriority is stay away from the couch. Maybe you have some different ones. What are your posteriorities? What are the things that you should say, I will not do this today? Because again, we always start out with, this is what I must do. Well, now I'm offering a new challenge for you. When you wake up in the morning, say, yes, this is what I must do, and these are the things I will not do today. And then the third thing is a spiritual checkup. If pride is the opposite of eternal life, if pride is the opposite of us dying to ourselves and allowing Christ to live through us, then it's the opposite of what we've been baptized into. Pride is the opposite of what we've been baptized into, our experience of eternal life. Our busyness reveals pride, which highlights some spiritual weakness that we may be suffering from. Why are you so prideful? Why are you not dying to yourself and moving away from whatever it is that you're demanding? I have the right to lean upon my own understanding in this regard. I have the right to demand my pride, my ego, before the truth of Jesus. Because again, the truth of Jesus would tell us that we are not to be anxious in anything. Busyness does not make you not anxious. I know that sounded strange. Busyness makes you anxious. So the root of the problem in your scheduling and in our busyness may be ourselves, maybe something in our spiritual walk that we need to contemplate and consider. And three questions I'd like to put before you, which are again in your on the back of your bulletin, is maybe you should ask yourself, if I find myself so busy, let's say you're sitting here and you're saying, I don't know, I have good rhythm in my life. I've developed good rhythm in my life. I have posteriorities. I know what I'm not going to do in certain times, days, etc. Maybe the next question is, what biblical promises are you not believing? Why do you believe it all depends upon you and your busyness? What is it that is keeping you away from truly understanding God's faithfulness and then resting in his promises and lifting up praises and prayers to him, as he says, will move you away from anxiety and all the things that seem to be come from being overly busy? What divine commands am I ignoring that I should obey? What self-imposed commands am I obeying that I should ignore? And when we begin to think through those things, I believe that that is our spiritual checkup that can also move us away from being completely busy. Because let's face it, what biblical promises am I not believing? How do you think that can lead somebody to be overly busy? Because if my life depends on me, if my finances are all about me, then I need to make sure I'm busy, busy, busy fixing my finances. Because that's what Jesus would tell us to do, right? Or would Jesus say, come to me, all who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. So if you're not feeling restful and you're not living in that experience and you're following of Jesus, you might ask yourself, what biblical promise am I not believing? Why am I not trusting in him for whatever this area that is keeping me anxious? And again, sometimes it is that we're ignoring certain commands. Maybe you're not properly putting your day in order with praise and prayer. That might be one of the biblical commands that you're ignoring. Maybe your days are so busy and so just full of anxiety because you're not taking that moment to have prayer and praise with the Lord. So maybe that's a biblical command you might do. Or maybe you're not serving your neighbor and it's manifesting in ways that's making your life look overly busy because you're not doing the things that Christ has taught us to do in Scripture. I know I've met many Christians who will say, I'm so busy that I don't have time to serve. Well, as a Christian, we're called to serve. So what you need to do is find the time to serve and maybe the busyness will go away. Maybe if you put your priorities in order, those negative effects will go away. And then, of course, I don't believe that we're all strangers to self-imposed commands. We're humans. We make up, you know, we're the problem of the Pharisees did not end in the first century. Okay? The problem of the Pharisees is something that's innate within us. We desire to lean upon our own understanding, create our own demands, commands, etc., that we believe will manifest the life that we desire. And many times they're not based upon spiritual truths. They're more so what our carnal mind is telling us because what I believe is important. Scripture says leaning upon your own understanding leads to destruction. So my conclusion this morning is that I believe this to be a rather timely message, much needed and surely in line with our celebrating mothers. I appreciate the mothers that are busy, busy, busy. However, I also pray for them. that they would move away from that busyness and find productive action, productive activity. Celebrating mothers by encouraging motherly wisdom and effective lives and rebuking things that seem to counteract that sounds like a God-glorifying Mother's Day sermon to me. As the body of Christ, we must recognize the beauty of motherhood. We must celebrate the beauty of motherhood and realize our role in mothering the next generation. Our busyness, our being attached to devices, which I have to say, you know, it's great being in the front of a church that doesn't have their cell phones in their hands and everything else, because I've seen those churches. It's a great thing that we're not a group that seems to suffer from the attachment to our devices. But it has been noted that our society is suffering from that, and I don't believe I'm telling you anything new. I'm sure you all see this throughout your busy week. So we live in a time where devices have caused a lack of communication, which, ironically, they're supposed to be devices that are supposed to enhance our communication. Recent studies have shown that our society is increasingly suffering social and emotional disconnection, isolation, which turns into mental health issues, tendency toward addictions, and depressed immune systems. Do I need to tell us that our society, that pretty much characterizes our society, mental health issues, an increase in addiction, and depressed immune systems? I believe, again, you go on the internet, you simply go to Google, put in the news column, click on news, and just read. That characterizes our society. We live in what they call a child-centered age, or to borrow a phrase, a kindergarten. We've assumed and bolstered the myth of the perfect parent, which is a lie and causes much more distress than necessary. Kevin DeYoung points us to a good dose of prayer, a shot of biblical redirection, and a little common sense as the solution. Mothers, I'd like to thank you for your service to God. I trust that I've encouraged mothers and each of us alike to move away from being crazy busy, to heed his call to an easy yoke and a light burden, which begins with relishing all that he has provided and increasing in our devotion to his and understanding of his sovereignty in our world. I'd like to end with a quote that highlights this exact point by a parenting author, Leslie Leland Fields, who said, "Parents with unbelieving children, friends with children in jail, the discovery of geneticists, and the faith heroes in Hebrews chapter 11 are all powerful reminders of this truth. We will parent imperfectly. Our children will make their own choices. And God will mysteriously and wonderfully use it all to advance his kingdom." Let's pray. Mighty God, we do thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty in our world. We thank you that you are in control, as much as our carnal minds might like to tell us the opposite. Lord, each of us can receive from you a rebuke in regards to busyness, that we would not lean upon our own understanding, we would not lean upon our own efforts, Lord, but instead trusting in your sovereignty, trusting in your providence in our world, Lord, we can seek to prove, study, search, and examine ourselves so that we would truly live out that eternal life that you have provided. Lord, remind us that your word says that you've provided everything pertaining to life and godliness. The answer is not going to be found in our becoming busier and busier throughout our days, Lord, but rather in our finding time to be like Mary. May you encourage us with that this week, Lord, that we would go through our busy schedules and that we would highlight time that should be devoted to you, time that should be celebrated, the one necessary thing. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.